We are going to go to John 4. And I want us all to read it. Because what we're going to talk about is being thirsty. So, for the new definition of thirsty, who's familiar with the new definition of thirsty?
Going too hard.
Pardon?
Going too hard.
Going too hard. Okay.
Wanting something.
And it's a term now that's used for lust. Like for that, when somebody's really, like you said, chasing after somebody too hard, like a stalker or something. But somebody just informed me of this like a couple months ago because I did not know that's what they're using the term thirsty for. And I thought that's stupid. Like that even sounds stupid. Why would you call somebody thirsty? Well, the Lord reminded me of this story. So that's what we're going to read. John 4, verse 1. Who would like to read verses 1 through 7? Wait, Khadija will get it.
Oh, okay. Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more his disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but had his disciples. So he left Judah and went back once more to now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob and gave it to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon.
All right.
When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. You said just a 7. Right?
Yes. Lyle, take 8 through 11.
Okay. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?"
I need somebody to read from 12 through 15.
"Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
That was good. Thank you. Jen, you want to finish it out from there through 18?
15 to 18. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have is quite true."
So look at that. The same way they're using the term thirsty today is the same way Jesus addressed it back then. Like he was already speaking the language of today, 2,000 years ago, because he addressed this woman that you have this lust. You've already had 5 husbands. You have a man now who is not your husband. She's thirsty. She is a thirsty woman. And do you see it?
Yep.
And Jesus was telling her, "I have this water that I can give you so that you won't thirst again." And when I realized that, I was like, Jesus, like this word is, people think that the Bible, I'm not going to read the Bible, that's all outdated, it was written 2,000 years ago. Jesus knew and knows the heart of man. He knows what's in a man's heart. He knew it back then, he knows it now. He knew how to address it then, he knows how to address it now. He can address the very issues that you're dealing with today. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. That never made sense to me. I thought, how in the world? Why? Because that never made sense to me. I thought, how in the world can he give people water? Because I thought, we're going to be thirsty again. We are. So a while ago, there was a guy and his girlfriend. I'm not going to say their names, but they were coming here to the meeting. They were living here in a motel. He was going to work to pay the rent. So he went to work one day, gave her the money to pay for the next week. And he went to work. Well, he gets this phone call at work. She let him know that she's not going to be there when he gets off work. She took the money and left. So he gets off work at night. They cleaned out the room. He had no clothes. He had no food. He had nothing, no money, because she took the money he gave her to pay the rent, and she skated. And so one of his coworkers let him sleep there on the floor, and then he had called me. So I went and got him. I took him to get some changes of clothes, and I'm talking to him about the Lord. And without even thinking about what I was saying, because I was telling him about my past, you know, about doing drugs, about drinking, about everything that I used to do, and just started coming out my mouth that I'm not thirsty for those things no more, that that's the only way I could explain it, was I no longer thirst for those things that cannot fill you, that will not sustain you, those things that you're chasing. I realized that, then I thought, oh, that's what that scripture means. When Jesus said, I have living water that you won't thirst again, because we put our eyes on the things of this world and we chase after them and we are never satisfied. So my mom, she's deceased now a couple years, but she had had this dream one time, and she went upstairs in this house, and in the upstairs room was all these kitchen appliances, all these kitchen utensils. She said there was chairs everywhere. She said there were so many beds that there was beds even hanging upside down from the ceiling. And it's like it was this marvelous place where everything you had could think of that you wanted was there. And any place to rest was there. And mom said in her dream, she looked around and she said, why aren't we living up here? Like, why don't we go higher? Why don't we live up here? Because we keep our eyes on these things that are not going to satisfy us. I have to read my notes. So the world is now using a term for desperate people that they thought they came up with when Jesus was speaking the language of this generation before they were even born. So one thing that people are seeking, one thing he addressed when he told her, when he was telling the woman to go call your husband, was he wanted to bring like to the forefront, like there's an issue, there's something going on with you. So what was the woman seeking that made her so thirsty? One is validation. Like, why do we go from one relationship to another? It's because we want to feel validated. We want to feel loved. So I was looking up the meaning of validation, and it says recognition or affirmation that a person or their feelings or their opinions are valid or worthwhile. So John 4:17-18, I want to read that again. When she said, I have no husband, and Jesus said to her, you are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So she can't, like, you can go from one person to the next, but you're not going to be satisfied. And even if you're married, like if Jesus isn't in the center of the relationship, that's why so many people cheat, because they're still seeking something and they're not realizing it's not that the person they're with isn't enough. But there's like, it's like when you have a bucket that has a hole in it and the water's just leaking out. Like Jesus, you still need Jesus in your marriage. So we are going to go to Ephesians 1. When somebody gets there, give the page number.
Page 946.
Thank you.
Page 946.
And then I want someone to read 3 through 6. Verse 3 through 6 of chapter 1.
God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption and sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins in accordance with his riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ.
That's enough.
Oh, I didn't know how far to go.
That's enough. Thank you. It's good to be thorough.
Oh, my bad.
That's fine. You can never overread scripture. You can never.
So tiny, I can't.
See where the numbers are?
Yeah.
I know. Normally, like with my Bible, I wouldn't have to have these my little granny glasses on because my Bible's large print, but this is tiny print. But I wanted us all to read it from the same version so that way you could, you know, get the effect of it. So he says in, let's see, verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So does that make you feel, if he chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless, does that make you worthwhile? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're worthwhile. He chose us to be holy, to be blameless, to be holy and blameless from lust, to be holy and blameless from sexual sin, to be holy and blameless from theft, from drugs, from alcohol, from robbery, from whatever it is, from lying, from cheating, from stealing. He chose us to be holy and blameless. He chose us before we were even born to be holy and blameless. He created us for that purpose, knowing that we could not measure up, knowing that we could not just be good because we are who we are. So he made a way by sending Jesus so that we could go through that blood and then we can be holy and blameless before him. And then he says in verse 5 that we are predestined. So we are predestined. So he created us because he absolutely wants joy for us. And I know that with a lot of your circumstances, you may not feel like life is joyful, but he created you on purpose. He designed your face on purpose. It was only been this year that I had been able to start thanking the Lord for my face. And I finally had to say, okay, you chose it. I will accept it. I'm 58 years old. It's like, okay, I'm going to make a truce with you. I'm going to accept it. This is what I look like. And like he chose the color of your eyes. He chose the size of your nose. He chose if your face is like this or if your face is like this or if your face is like this or your face is like this. Like he looked at you and he designed everything about you on purpose. And I don't know if you've ever made anything, but sometimes like I'll do crafts and I put things in it like in certain places because I like the way it looks. And that is the way he designed you. He designed you on purpose. Like he chose the size of your ears when he put them on there. And then he's like, this is good. This is good. I love what I created. This is my son. This is my daughter. I love what I created on purpose. He predestined you and created you on purpose. So you can never feel like you're not worth anything to God. You can never feel like you're not good enough. Because he knew what he was doing when he created you. So you don't have to earn it. You don't have to wait until you're good enough. He says, just walk in. It's one step. It's one step from where you are to the throne. One step. That's all it takes. So in the verse 3 at the beginning, it says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So belonging is a blessing. Acceptance is a blessing. Luke 12:34. And I just want, when you get there,
846.
12:34. I want someone to read that one verse.
12:34.
For where your treasure is, where your heart will be also.
That, what's that mean?
That your heart is your treasure.
A good try. Who else is brave enough to take a try at that? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
What you have your eye on is where your heart is.
When you, like when you meet somebody new and you're just all ate up with this person, like that right then, they're your treasure. And your heart is always thinking about that person. Pardon?
Like your babies.
Yep, that's your treasure.
The things you give value.
The things you give value to. Yep, the things you put value on. So the things that you value, thank you, you're smarter than you look. So the things you put... he surprises me. So the things you value, that's where your heart's going to be. Because you value that. Like if you value family... your heart's going to be all about family. If you value your job, like some people are workaholics, like they're going to do the best job ever. You know, whatever you value, that's where your heart is going to be. So when God becomes your treasure, then that's where your heart is going to be. Like I used to collect. So when I got out of prison, I couldn't stand bare walls. And so I had to put decorations up everywhere. I had decorations. Then I even made decorations to put up. I had to always have, I couldn't have no bare walls, nowhere. And then I collected things, dolphins. I collected clowns. I collected snowmen. I haven't had a snowman nativity set. Ridiculous. And I always had to get more because I was thirsty. I was thirsty for material things because I lived down on the locker for so many years. I needed material things in order to feel valuable. I had to have jewelry. I had to have chains. I had to have rings. I had to have things to make me feel valuable. All that jewelry went to the pawn shop, all for crack, like fair exchange, but it was all robbery. And now I don't have a single collection. And the apartment that I live in, I don't have anything on any of the walls. And I was thinking about this the other night, how I know I don't thirst. I'm not thirsty no more. I'm not thirsty to fill myself up with things that don't matter, with things that don't have any value, with things that are just going to be washed away at the end. I'm not thirsty to chase after things. I'm not thirsty to chase after. I almost was when I almost was thirsty to chase after a relationship. And I know you look at me and you're like, ooh, gross. But like 10 years ago, 11 years ago, when I first gave my life to the Lord, like I was thinking, surely the Lord's going to give me a husband. And I got on this thing called Christian Cafe, and a couple men started like responding, and I got nervous and took my profile down. Because I'm like, oh no, what if I get trapped? What if it's a trap, Lord? So I had laid a fleece out to the Lord, and I told him there's only, and I will not reveal this to anybody what it is, but I had told the Lord there's only one thing he could show me. If there would be a man that he sends that he's okay with for me to be in a relationship with. And he has not showed me that about any man. And so I've been alone for 11 years. And I can honestly say I am not thirsty because like the Lord has become my husband. He's become my friend. He's become my soulmate. Like I spend my time with him. I have to, like, instead of chasing after, you don't want to get trapped into something you can't get out of, because that's when you're in recovery. And when you're in these situations, that's the first thing you think is, oh, I'll get fixed if I get in a relationship. But no, you may not be ready for a relationship yet. First, you have to learn how to get filled with the Lord. You have to learn how to have that time with him to where you're not chasing after people just because you're thirsty. But when you do look for somebody, when you do pray and ask the Lord to bring the person that he has designed to be in ministry with you, ask him to bring the person that he has designed, who's going to walk through scriptures with you, who's going to pray with you, who's going to be able to speak the word over you. That's, you only want what the Lord has for you. Don't run out there being thirsty. Fill yourself up with living water. So then that way you don't end up getting it. Because just like God has a plan for you, Satan has a plan for you. And he's going to pop this person up right in front of you who's going to say, oh, you look so good and I've been thinking about you and day and night, you're on my mind. No, put a big X over them. No, You want what the Lord has for you. Never, never, never go out with anybody until the Lord gives you approval. Like, ask him, is this the one? Like, it's a trap. It's a thirst trap. So, I got to tell you guys about a dream I had. And the girls have already heard this because they were at a retreat with us. And this is a little embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because you got to know that the Lord is concerned about your desires. He's concerned about the people that you've been involved with. So I had this dream about 2 months ago. And this man, he was a friend of mine. And it's not anyone that I currently know. And so this man, I knew he was getting ready to ask me to have sex with him. And he went out the room. And I thought, when he comes back, I got to tell him I can't have sex with him because of all the people I've already had sex with. And because of all the sexual diseases I've had, I've got to tell this man I can't have sex with him. And then I woke up. So if I ever meet this man, I want to be like, no, Jesus already told me you were coming. I'm not going to meet him. So anyway, so in my dream, when I woke up, I felt so much shame. I felt so ashamed. I had had sex with more people than I could ever count, men and women. I could not tell you how many. I can't put a number on it, how many people I've had sex with. And that morning when I woke up, and this was just recent, and that was years ago, but all this shame was on me. And I went to go to my prayer chair, and I went and I sat there, and I was like, I don't know how I can talk to the Lord right now. I didn't know how I could talk to him because I felt so ashamed. I just felt so ashamed. And I opened up my Bible to Romans 8. And we may as well look at it. Romans 8 is a great, great chapter. Verse 28
through
30. Well, read it. Well, no, Toby, you're not reading what we're reading from. You can't read it. Go ahead, you can read it.
I can't see it, really.
Okay. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
As I read that, so that was the first thing I read when I sat down in my chair, and I'm thinking, I don't even know what I can say to God right now. And I just, and I, that wasn't even where I was supposed to be reading that morning, but that was where my Bible opened to. And I read it, and it's highlighted in my Bible. So that was what made my eyes just go to it. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, because he called me according to his purpose. And those God foreknew, he also predestined. So he knew me. He knew me ahead of time. He already knew me, and he knew what I would do. He knew all the people I would be with, but he had already predestined me. And it gets better, to be conformed to the image of his son. He had already predestined me to be conformed to the image of his son. And those he predestined, he calls. Those he calls, he justifies. And those he justifies, he glorifies. So I've already been justified. I've already been glorified because he called me ahead of time. And as I was reading that, so God will give me a picture. So I seen, it was like I just had this flash in my head of this dirty jar that was laying out in the yard that was full of rust and full of mud and full of dirt. And I seen this water going around and washing in this jar. And all of a sudden that water was going through my stomach and was washing inside of me. And I felt this cleansing. Oh my word, I just felt this cleansing. And the Lord called me clean. He just made me a vessel of honor. What Satan meant for my harm, what he made to make me, meant to make me feel shame that morning. See, God works all things together for good. So Satan gave me that dream. He brought back those memories. He told me I was worthless. I was filthy. I was tainted. I was dirty. And God said, but I predestined you. I justified you. I called you. He sanctified me. He cleansed me. And in that moment, I just felt, I can't even tell you, just this washing of water went through me. And I just sat there just with tears just running down my face, just thanking him over and over and over again, because that's the living water that will stop you from being thirsty. That water that calls you holy, that calls you predestined, that calls you justified, that calls you glorified. He already sees you glorified. Did I tell you guys about the toilet paper? You didn't hear it. I know some of you have heard it. I didn't, when I had went to church, when I first started going to church, and I didn't know how, because I was already in my 40s. And here are these people who are, have families, kids in college that they've raised. I have a daughter I didn't raise. Like, they have cars, they have houses. I was living somewhere where somebody was letting me stay for free because I didn't have no place to live. And I just felt so much less than these people. And I went home and I was crying and I said, Lord, I can't catch up. I can't catch up to where they are. I said, how can you look at me and not see all my past, because I always see it. And he showed me a roll of toilet paper. And anybody who's been locked up loves a good roll of toilet paper.
Amen.
And I immediately knew what he was saying. He flushed it. He flushed it. We never ever go into a bathroom and look at a roll of toilet paper and say, I know what you did yesterday. Never. We never judge a roll of toilet paper. We always see it the way that it was created to be. Clean. Pure. Sometimes to us it can be holy. Just so glad to have it. And that's the way the Lord sees us every time. Anytime when you've asked the Lord for forgiveness, anytime when you've said, God, I'm sorry, immediately he flushes. It's gone. And he just sees you the way that he created you, predestined, justified, glorified. He sees you as his son and as his daughter. Last weekend, I had the privilege of being on a retreat with these lovely ladies. We had a day at a camp called Stillwater Camp. So on Friday evening, I went out there on Friday evening with ladies from the Grace House, and then these ladies from the residential center came out all day Saturday. Well, Friday morning at 5 a.m., I fell down my basement stairs just because I didn't have anything else to do at 5 a.m., and I had hit my head several times. I had a big bruise in the middle of my back. I bruised my tailbone. I broke my little toe. My elbow was swollen. And I had to go out to this camp all day long. I had to fix supper. The next day, I had to fix breakfast. I was the facilitator over the events. I could not say, I can't go. So I had to go. So a lot of times when things happen, and then this week, my windshield got busted out. And also this week, someone took our credit card and put a bad charge on it. We had to cancel the ministry credit card. And the reason I want to tell you guys all this stuff real quick is because you guys always think, well, I just can't get ahead because bad things keep happening to me. Bad things, you don't know, just one bad thing after another. Bad things happen to us too. They happen. It happens. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't care about you. It doesn't mean that God is like, oh, God, just let this happen to me. No, God didn't God didn't make me fall down those stairs. I fell because I didn't grab the rail in time and my foot went out from under me. But I could have went forward. I could have split my head open. I could have broke my arm. I could have broke a leg. I could have broke a hip at my age. You seen the commercials? But like, the Lord did not let the worst things happen to me. And then are we going to still serve him if we're in pain? Are we going to serve him when we're uncomfortable? Are we going to serve him when we don't feel good? Am I still going to say, I love you, God, and I still think you're awesome and you're incredible? He's awesome and he's incredible. He's not less just because I fell. He's not less just because somebody busted out my windshield. But when you walk with the Lord, like, those things that used to would have just knocked me off my square and I'd have been like, I'm down, woman down. I'm out. I'm not doing it. Those things that used to knock me off my square can't knock me off my square no more, because my foundation is built on the rock. And my foundation is built on Christ. And when you stand on him, you're not going to get shaken. You're not going to get shaken by any little wind that blows along, because you have a firm foundation. And it's like, no matter what comes, I know that he's God. I know that he's in control. I know he's going to work it out for my good, no matter what happens. So anyway, when we had this day with the ladies, So we had two morning sessions of worship, of teaching, and they were like 2 hours each, and then we had lunch. Then they had to do an outside activity before lunch. They did an outside activity after lunch. And I was thinking, I thought that we should just, like in the afternoon, they had took canoes out, which not these ladies, but two of the other ones promptly turned over one of the canoes. They were a little bit chilly. So, yeah, which I wish we would have got that on film. And I'm so glad that Marvin was there, because Marvin made them all put on life jackets when they went out. And if I would have been down there, I'd have been like, oh, just going out, you'll be fine. But their shoes, they have no shoes and coats. So, you know, that's weight when it's wet. But anyway, so two of them had turned the canoe over, and what, anyway, a couple of them were fishing, and like these girls were just such good sports about everything that we did that day. It was so great. So this last session, I'm tired. I've been in pain all day. I'm walking around with a broke toe. My back hurts. My head hurts. And so right, the last session was at 4 o'clock. We were going in for more worship, more, another teaching, and I had to speak a little bit during the last teaching. I didn't even want to hear me speak. I was tired. So anyway, I'm like, oh, why did we even schedule a last session? Why didn't we just let them have fun the rest of the day? Like, why are we going to ruin it by going back to church, going back into worship? When we went back for the last session and went into worship, the Spirit of God felt so heavy. Oh, my word. What I was empty, but he was not. And this is where we miss it, because so many times we think, I just want to have a little bit more fun. I don't want to ruin it with church. That is where you get your empowerment. That's where this living water comes from. That's where this stuff comes from that will stop you from being thirsty. Because what God...
Amen. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord.
What God poured into them in that last 2 hours was priceless. It's what will sustain them when the times are hard. It's what makes chains be broken. Like we're in such a... We're such a generation of just entertainment. What's going to be fun? What's going to feel good? I don't want you guys to leave here thirsty. I want you to know that there is a God in heaven that has so much more for you.
Amen.
He has so much that he wants to pour out on you. So when Toby was saying about that he knew I had said something about God A to Z. So when I first come to the Lord, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray like other people. So I would just try to talk to God. Sorry, I'm trying to get myself together. I just want to run down the rows and just slap all of you. And just say, just get it. Just get what the Lord has for you. And anytime whenever I get emotional, then I always just want to slap somebody so I can feel better and get myself together. Sorry, that's an old habit. I just want to cause somebody pain so I can straighten up. But anyway, I didn't know how to pray. So I would just kept saying, okay, God, you're holy. Like, you know, you give God your grocery list and of the things that you need. And the Bible says that our prayers are incense in heaven. What do your prayers smell like? Honestly, have you ever, when you're just like, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, probably don't smell so good. But when you worship him, like worship is praying. And so I would just tell God over and over. I'm trying to think, okay, I'm not going to give him a list this time. I'm not going to give him a list. And I just say, you're holy. You're holy, you're holy, you're holy. I'm just walking around. Okay, I was in an efficiency. My one room. I'm walking around my room. I was there for 6 years. And it was my bedroom, was my living room. And I kept saying, I was tired of telling people I was in efficiency, bedroom, living room, bed, living, believing. So I started telling people I lived in a believing room. So I'm walking around my believing room, and it was Miami Homes, and so a lot of people would go in front of my apartment because a couple apartments down sold crack, and so everybody would be going past my apartment in the night to go down there, and they're out there drinking, and everything. One of them, this guy in a motorized wheelchair, rolled. I was taking my garbage over one day to the dumpster, and he started talking about how good my butt looked. And I said, you know what, I'm getting ready to pray for you. And he says, right here? And I said, I will be at your apartment tomorrow afternoon, because I wanted to wait till he was sober. And I went to his apartment and prayed with him, and he never talked about my butt again. But anyway, that's a good way to stop it, right in his track. Let's say, let's pray about this. Anyway, so I would walk around my apartment, and I'd be talking out loud to God, and so I started saying, what can I say to the Lord? What can I say to him? So I thought, well, I don't know really pretty things to say to the Lord, but I do know my alphabet. So I started just going through the alphabet. I'd say, you're Alpha, you're amazing, you're the beginning and the end, you're the bright morning star, you're Christ, you're the creator, you're my deliverer, you're eternal, you're everlasting, you're the father to the fatherless, you're God, you're the great I am, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, you're holy, you're Hosanna, you're invincible, you're indestructible, you're Jesus, you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, you're the Lamb of God, you're the light of the world, you're living water, you're magnificent, you're mighty, you're the name above every name, you're omnipotent, you're omnipresent, which means he's everywhere all the time and he can do anything, you're powerful, you're the Prince of Peace, you're the qualifier, because his word says he qualifies those whom he calls. You're my redeemer. You're my rewarder. You're my restorer. You're my rebuilder. He's your rebar. He's that bar that's going to help you to stand straight. QRS. You're my savior. You're sweet. You're timeless. You're the truth. You're undefeated. You're victorious. You're valiant. You're wonderful. You're a warrior. I don't have X. You're Yahweh. You're Yeshua. And your word says that you're zealous for me. That means he is all in. He's all in for you. He's all in. So if you don't know how to pray, but you do know the alphabet, I'm taking it that you do. Lyle knows it. If he knows it, I know you know it. And you don't know how to pray, just start going through the alphabet. Because just start glorifying him, magnifying him, just tell him how great he is, how wonderful he is, and that's what will feed your spirit, that's what will fill you up. So that's all that I had for you guys tonight, and I hope that it spoke to your hearts.